Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. I am coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we're talking about you. We're talking about your life. We're talking about your money. And there's much more about that at stewardship.com. Again, that's stewardship.com. That's our website. That's where everything you're going to hear about on this show is going to be living. There's a section there called Chris Recommends. And anything that I recommend, hello, it's underneath that section. Feel free to call in. This is a call-in show where you can call in with your questions, comments, testimonies, whatever it may be. The number is 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. I'm at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter. And on Facebook, it's Chris Brown On Air as well. Speaking of Facebook, though, you know, many of you are leaving your questions, and you can email in, obviously, to the show to chrisonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisonair@stewardship.com. But you can also send me questions on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or any other social media platform that's out there these days. But this one comes in from Tim List, a faithful listener. He says, any suggestions on how to fill the hole left in life after retirement? What a great question. Obviously, that's a reality that's out there, that's in the world today. When you retire, it's like, what is my purpose? What am I doing now? And the question, the answer is the same thing that you're doing before, serving others, valuing others, producing value. Your value that you add to this world has nothing to do with your paycheck. You just serve people. And it might look a little different because of health concerns or energy levels or whatever the dynamic might be. But serve people. Find a way to serve people. If you don't, you will be miserable in retirement. We were designed to serve people. So that would be my suggestion for you, Tim, and for all of our listeners, is that no matter what season we're in life, that we continue to serve people. Again, the number to call in, 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. Our first call comes in from Louisville, and this is Tara. Tara, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Hey. Well, I'm calling. My husband and I are having a disagreement about whether or not to sell our home. We owe about $73,000 on our home, and we have about $30,000 in other debts. And I think we could sell our home for about $110,000, so kind of break even and start over. I want to do that and then just rent a place until we build up our credit and get a new home. He thinks that's silly and that we should stay. So I just kind of wanted your advice.
Okay, so $30,000 in debt. What's the debt?
It's mostly credit cards, a little bit on student loans, about $8,000 on student loans, like personal loans, a little bit left on a car that we still have. Just kind of a little bit of everything.
Okay, and what's the income?
I'm going back full time. We'll be about $80,000 this year.
Okay,
combined, both of us.
All right. And do you have any savings?
Just right at $1,000. We just are starting our debt snowball and that thing. We just took Dave Ramsey at the beginning of the year.
Okay. So just one of you is just getting more intense than the other. Really, it's an intensity issue. Who wants to pay it off the fastest?
Right.
Okay.
That would be me.
Now, you use the word disagreements. What do these discussions look like?
Well, not necessarily a disagreement. He just says he thinks it's kind of silly because our house payment, you know, is, you know, about $600. And to go and rent, we're going to be paying that much and then not getting any type of equity or anything like that. So he'd rather just stay and work on the snowball, where I'd rather just go ahead and do it and kind of bite the bullet and be done with the snowball, because it's just, I'm stressed about the debt that's out there.
Yeah. Why do you think explain to me just real quickly, how did the $30,000 happened? What was the thinking behind the $30,000? What's the perspective? How did that happen? Just creep up on you, or...
It did. It was pretty much like, hey, this is what everybody does, is you buy a house when you don't have any money, and then you buy a car when you don't have any money, and you keep spending on your credit cards, because that's what our parents have done, and that's pretty much what we've known growing up. So that's kind of how we just kind of got into it, and then we started hearing Dave Ramsey, and went, this is really stupid, so let's not do it anymore. So they've all been cut up, and but now we're just now trying to clean up the mess.
Yeah. Do you like your house?
I mean, I don't love it. I like it. Mm-hmm. We've been there like, you know, 8-10 years. Yeah. So, I mean, it's okay, but, you know, I'm not like super attached. I think he's more attached than I am.
Right. Now, are you guys living on a budget now, I'm assuming?
We are, yes.
What do you? How tight do you think you can squeeze that budget? What do you think you can live on? 50K? 60K?
I mean, maybe we could probably, it'd probably be close to 60, honestly, because that's, we were just kind of squeezing by when I wasn't working full time.
Yeah.
But we've just recently cut our cable, like we're cutting all that kind of stuff, you know, cutting our cable, like doing the beans and rice, like really cheap at the groceries. I'm clipping coupons. We're trying to cut it everywhere we can.
Yeah. So. And if it's a $600 payment, it's, and you're only owing, it's a $110,000 house, it's probably not too big, right? It's not like you're in this monster house.
Right, right. It's like 1,200 square feet.
So. Yeah, and a $600 payment when you're making $80,000 is definitely, you know, on the low end.
Right.
As easy as it would be to, because you're on the phone, to agree with you and how nice that would be, I don't think you should move.
Okay.
I'm going to lean towards work hard and sacrifice and make sure you change that behavior. It's a behavior change, remember.
Right.
And I think you can be out in 18 months. You can be completely out of debt.
Okay.
And it's going to cost you a little bit more interest. I mean, interest, but then you think about all the money you're saving from not having to up and move your stuff and pay origination fee on a new house and all that stuff. I mean, financially, it's another whole topic to sell your house because you don't like it,
right?
But I would not sell it because of financial reasons. But if you don't like it, that's another whole thing. But I'm with him. You got bigger fish to fry than that $600 payment.
Okay, cool. Well, Matt, I appreciate your advice and I'll call you back in 18 months. When
yes.
We get it all knocked out.
Yes, we'll do our Chris Brown's True Stewardship version of a debt-free scream. We'll rock it out.
Okay, sounds like a plan. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Tara. Oh, our next caller comes in from the Charlotte, North Carolina. This is Evan. Evan, how are you?
Hey, good, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. I love me some Charlotte.
Yeah.
I lived there for 8 years.
Oh, that's awesome. Born and raised.
That's cool. You're one of the few. One of the few.
Yeah.
Yep. I was one of those transplants for a while that you guys make fun of behind our backs.
No, not at all.
We're yeah, sure, all. Sure. How can I serve you?
Except on the interstate. I got a question here about life insurance. So I'm getting married in a couple of weeks and found out that my fiance has a whole life policy from her parents back. They bought it back in 91, actually. And it's just it's got a $33,000 death benefit. But the cash surrender value is around $3,000, so I guess about 10%. But I know the common wisdom, I've listened to Dave a little bit, and the common wisdom is just to have term policy 10 to 12 times your income and really nothing else life insurance-wise. So I'm just kind of preparing for being married and needing that and kind of wondering what to do with this whole life policy, if we should cash it out and throw it at our snowball or throw it into the baby steps or, you know, kind of what some wisdom would be around that, if we should hold on to it and just pay the premium. Just not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Good question. And you're right. You're on track. The more question is how, and you definitely want to cash it out. You want to go from whole to term. It's how to do that. And so don't cash out your whole life until you've got your term insurance in full effect. You've got it rocking. It's you know that it's in effect. You've got proof. You've got it in writing. Then you cash out that whole life. And with the $3,000 you're going to get, you want to apply that to your baby steps wherever you're at. So $1,000 in baby step one, making sure you're saving that. Baby step two, pay off your debt, smallest to biggest in the debt snowball. And then if you're in baby step three, you want to make sure that you fully fund that emergency fund 3 to 6 months of your expenses. But yeah, I think you just contact one of our ELPs in the insurance. We've got those on stewardship.com. They're endorsed local providers. They're amazing. I actually know a few in Charlotte. I just spoke there last month at Transformation Church there in Rock Hill.
Wow.
And yeah, I actually met an insurance guy in the lobby who does the insurance there in ELP, and he seemed like a really great guy. So they're awesome. So contact them. You can find out more at stewardship.com.
Okay, awesome. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Evan. Have a great day. Our next call comes in from Kevin. Kevin's calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Kevin, how are you?
Everything's lovely, Chris. How are you today?
Oh, better every day. How can I serve you?
Chris, thanks for taking my call. Recently got married about 2 months ago, And now that we're going to kind of combine two households, I was curious as kind of the rule of thumb for how much you want to spend on your mortgage on a monthly basis, given other financial considerations, just so that when we're looking for a house that we don't overstep our bounds.
Yeah. And this is a great question for a lot of our listeners, so I'm glad you're asking it. There's a lot of things to consider. First of all, for just being newly married, some things I would think about is just to be very patient, not to buy something too quickly because you're still figuring out what your career is going to be. And it seems like it's going – how old are you?
I am 39. She's 34.
Okay. So you guys are pretty established in your careers. You feel pretty good about it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you got
I think we're going to stay with where we're at. Uh-huh.
Okay, so you got some stability there. Also, be patient because it's a big-time seller's market, especially in North Carolina right now. So the demand is really high and the supply is low, so the prices are up. So don't feel in a hurry. Don't do anything out of hastiness and do something fast. With you calling and asking about this, it could either mean you're being very urgent and want to do something fast, or it could mean that you're being very careful and methodical. So I don't know where you're at in that spectrum. Just be patient. But as far as financially, you want to make sure that your baby steps are in order. Make sure that you, first of all, have $1,000 in the bank, that then you've paid off all of your debt, your consumer debt's all gone. Then I would make sure that that $1,000 in the bank now grows to about 3 to 6 months of your monthly expenses so that you are ready for a rainy day.
Yes, sir. We're there.
Is that where you're at?
Yes. We've got all our consumer debt is paid off except for our mortgages. We both have individual mortgages now.
Okay.
And then we've got the 3 to 6 months in the bank.
Okay, good.
And contributing, the 15%+ to retirement.
Yeah, so you're doing great and you're starting off on the right foot. I love it. So you want to make sure that those baby steps are done, and then you want to put 20% down. This is not including emergency funds. So you want to have 20% above your emergency fund to put down on a house, on a 15-year fixed loan. 15-year fixed loan. And that payment on that 15-year fixed loan needs to be no more than 25% of your monthly expenses or your monthly budget, your monthly take-home. So that's including insurance. That's including taxes. That's your full payment to the mortgage company. Needs to be no more than 25% of your take-home income. So that's some of those parameters that you were looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said it's 25% of net take-home. Is that after retirement or before retirement contribution?
That would be after. It's whatever you have, your spendable income.
Okay, all right.
So whatever your spendable income is that you're taking home, yeah.
Okay.
And I love the fact that you're taking this seriously. And I think, any listeners out there who are in this boat where you're starting this season of your life, I just want to remind all of us that 1 Timothy 5:8 says this: anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. What a tremendous responsibility. So as you're out there shopping, think about this verse, because you know how real estate brokers work and you know how builders work. They're going to try to get you to ramp up that payment, and you're going to look at it in a vacuum and think, oh, I can make this payment. No big deal. Just remember those parameters. Those are there to help you.
Yes, sir.
And if you do that, you'll be just fine.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Folks, you hear us talk about Financial Peace University, and you hear us talk about debt snowballs and all those kind of things quite a bit. But maybe you're not familiar with The Legacy Journey, Dave Ramsey's latest book. It's a book that tackles really, really tough issues, like what does the Bible say about money? A lot of things we talk about on this show. It dives into what the Bible says about money. So it's like, what about wealth? How much is enough for your family, if that's ever been a wrestle for you? You'll also learn how to live a legacy and leave a legacy for your family. So it's The Legacy Journey, incredible book. I've read it cover to cover, and I've got it all highlighted, and I've got mine all marked up. I've learned a lot from that book. And if you want to learn more about it, or if you want to get it now, it's under Chris Recommends at stewardship.com. Again, at stewardship.com under the Chris Recommends section, and it's called The Legacy Journey. So you want to check that out.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Here's Chris. Again, you guys can email me at chrisonair@stewardship.com. I got an email here from Brian. He says, praises to God, we are in a position to pay off our home. We currently owe $250,000. We have no other debt. Savings, tithing, and other giving is all in order. I have over $600,000 invested stock from the company that I currently work for. Do you recommend that we cash in now to pay off our house? If so, how would you attempt to prepare for the tax implications after this transaction? And I think you got to first ask the question, do we need or do we want this much house? I think that's the first question. Do you want to pull out investments to pay for a house that you don't even really want or need? You're going to downsize in a year? You want to ask that question first. But really think about this. Brian, you could be debt-free by the end of the day. I would definitely cash that out to pay off this house, and you'd be completely debt-free by the end of the day. And as far as the tax implications, I would get in touch with one of our ELPs, our endorsed local provider tax professionals, and one of our endorsed local provider ELP financial advisors that can help you to handle this, the tax implications, and what could you do with those stocks? Because those stocks need to eventually be more diversified. You need to get those more diverse. You need to get them in mutual funds, and you need to kind of move those, move that dollar amount where it's more diversified and you're more protected and you're a little bit less, a little bit less risky, in a less risky position. So that's what I would do, Brian. Thank you so much for the email. This email comes in from Tony. He says, my wife and I are veteran missionaries, 16 years serving in Bolivia, South America. Before coming to the mission field, my wife and I purchased a whole life policy, $250,000 for me and $100,000 for her. At the time, that was a good policy. After listening to Dave Ramsey on many occasions, we have come to the conclusion that whole life is not wise. Term insurance seems to be the better deal. My situation is this. Since we live overseas, no one wants to insure us. If we could, we would cash in the whole life and purchase term. What do you recommend? Thank you for your new show, and God bless you. Well, I wouldn't cash out the whole life until you've got term in full effect. So if you want to make sure that you can get term, and right now, obviously, you're hitting an obstacle, so you want to make sure that do not cash anything out, don't stop anything until you've got the replacement in motion. I will encourage you to call one of our ELPs or call Xander Insurance, our friends there. And our ELPs, you can find them on stewardship.com underneath the Chris Recommends section. And ask our endorsed local providers, as the ELP stands for, and our insurance professionals, because they know all about this. They deal with this every day, day in and day out, insuring folks in areas that are not super insurable. And I know they have a solution for you. So again, that's our ELPs at stewardship.com under Chris Recommends. And I'd also look around there in Bolivia. Is there some kind of term insurance equivalent that's there? Since you're a resident, pretty much 16 years, you're pretty much a resident there. I think they'd be able to provide you with some kind of term insurance equivalent. But thank you so much for listening in from Bolivia. That's pretty cool. I love it. Well, again, you guys can call in at 866-357-3283. This phone call comes in from Heather. She's calling from Ohio. Heather, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I am better than ever. How can I serve you?
Well, I have a question I was hoping that you might be able to speak to as a pastor. I was recently doing a Bible study and came across James 5:1. And I've listened to Dave for a while and, you know that there are scriptures like leaving an inheritance to your children's children as a blessing and things like that. Mm-hmm. But this particular passage says, now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your gold and silver is corroded. There's a lot of seemingly really negative things said about rich people. Mm-hmm. In this passage, and I have a new baby who you can hear in the background, and so we've been trying to be good stewards of our resources for her, but I was curious about what the meaning is of that passage then.
Yeah. In James 1, 9 through 11, just to bring your point even more to life, it says, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. So we're not supposed to be rich, right? Okay, so this right here, you got to take it in context. When you look at the commentary, it's talking about that economic system at that time. And those who were rich, the majority of them, well, it was economically corrupt. That was a part where they're talking about the rich in that context. And the other implication there is not just that context. That's the analogy that's being used. And that is the context. But in addition to that, it's talking about whenever we have our identity. This rich that it's referring to is a person who has their identity wrapped up in how much money they have, and their security is wrapped up in how much money they have. And so when you take the scripture in context and in setting, it explains that for you. Whenever you're exposed to a verse like this that's so confusing and it seems very contradictory to all the other things that you read in the Bible, it's because when you get it in context or the other verse in context, it explains why there seems to be a contradiction. Mm-hmm. There's 2,350 verses in the Bible about money and possessions, and none of them speak to the fact that being rich or being wealthy is a negative thing as a concept. Now, you could put all your security and identity in it, and that's a problem, where it becomes your God. Again, we know the verse, for love of money is the root of all evil. So it's really about rich people who love the money. Mm. That's the camel that's hard to go through the eye of a needle. So, you know, there's three different views out there. There's a view of poverty, that you can be, like, to be really spiritual, to be close to God, you have to be dirt poor. And that's Gnosticism. It's been around for years. And it's just, it's either consciously or subconsciously tweaking the scriptures. There's another one of pride. I work really hard. I work hard for this money. It's all because of me. That's wrong too. No, God, it's a gift from God. It's not because of how hard we work. He blesses our hard work, but that you're not the one generating income. It's a gift. He's given you the ability to work. He's given you the ability to reason. He's given you the health to be able to do it. And he's the one that gifts you with that. So neither one of those are good. What we want to do is we want to have a mindset of gratitude. We want to have a grateful spirit of what God's given us. And here's the key factor in all this. As you're weighing this out and you're weighing, which I love the fact that you're digging in yourself. And that would be my encouragement to all listeners, to dig into this stuff yourself. The key variable, it goes back to our definition of this show, the word stewardship. Managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. That's the why. If it's for God's glory, he's all about it. He wants to put his money into the hands of those who are going to bring glory to his name. And so it's all about why. It's the heart. If you're just getting rich to get rich, then you can apply this verse all day long, and you can really take heart to it, because it's a very, very valid challenge. But if it's for God's glory and you're giving him all the glory, and there's nothing wrong with becoming wealthy at all. Actually, there's tons of scriptures that actually call us to be wealthy, including the parable of the talents.
I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much, Heather.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'm so glad that you are feeling open to call in and be honest. And I love the fact that you guys are searching the scripture for yourself. Please, please don't ever just take someone's word for it because they're on the radio. That is a disaster. We need to know how to think for ourselves. And so, Heather, I commend that. Thank you so much for digging in the scriptures and caring enough to call in and ask that question that helped many people, I am sure. Well, folks, that is it for today. Thank you for reclaiming stewardship. That's what you're doing. You guys are culture changers. Be sure to keep telling your friends about the show. And remember to continue to leverage stewardship.com and all the resources that are there. That site is designed just like this show, to serve you. And so make sure you're leveraging that for everything that it's worth. And we try as hard as we can to make it easier on you. That's why we have the section there, Chris Recommends. So anything that was mentioned in this show is right there under Chris Recommends. So let's continue to reclaim stewardship together by managing his blessings, his way, and for his glory. God bless you.